coming up on this episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
And you can bring 10 kids in here with ADHD, right? Or the label of ADHD, and each one of them is going to be treated differently because they're all going to be different. Their genetics are going to be different. Their environments are going to be different. Their supports are going to be different.
Hey, everyone. It's Dr. Hyman here. Now, so many of my patients ask me how I manage to work multiple jobs, travel frequently, well, not so much anymore, and spend time with my family and still focus on my health. I know it can seem hard to eat well when you got a lot going on, but the trick is to never let yourself get into a food emergency and to stay stocked up with the right things to support your goals. So recently I discovered Paleo Valley beef sticks. I keep these beef sticks at home and at the office, so I know that whenever I'm in a food emergency, I have a healthy and delicious option to keep me on track. It's no secret that I have high standards when it comes to what I put in my body, and Paleo Valley beef sticks checks all the boxes. They're gluten-free, grain-free, dairy-free, soy-free, and non-GMO. Plus, they use 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, which not only adds to the flavorful taste, but it also means they're free of any harmful antibiotics or hormones that you'll find in most meat. With grass-fed beef, you'll get more nutrients than you would with beef fed with grains, things like higher levels of omega-3 fats that help reduce inflammation, and more B vitamins and other antioxidants to support your body's converting food into energy, and also more of the fat-soluble vitamins that are beneficial for a healthy heart. Plus, instead of being processed with chemicals and other questionable ingredients, these beef sticks are naturally fermented, so you get gut-friendly probiotics with every bite. How cool is that? Right now, Paleo Valley is offering my listeners 15% off your entire first order. Just go to paleovalley.com/Hyman to check out all their clean paleo products and take advantage of this deal. That's paleovalley.com/Hyman. I definitely recommend stocking up on the grass-fed beef sticks to keep in your house, in your car, and in your office. It's one of my favorite tricks to staying healthy while on the go. I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting. My first ever shake called the Pegan Shake. After years of trying to discover the best breakfast meal, protein powder, or shake recipe, and coming up short, I decided to create my own. The Pegan Shake is 100% clean and combines healthy fats from MCT oil and avocado oil with organic and grass-fed protein from collagen, pumpkin seeds, and pea protein and extra fiber to create the perfect way to start your morning, balance your blood sugar, and energize your day. These ingredients are also great for fueling your mitochondria and for fat burning. So far, hundreds of people have been trying the Pegan Shake, and here's what some of them have had to say. Suzanne M. says, "Highly recommend the Pegan Shake. Great flavor, curbs cravings, and love the fact that it has healthy fats. And it's great for digestion. I love it, and I'm going to order it again." Laura B. says, "I love starting my day with a quick filling smoothie, but I was never full until lunch. My attempts to supplement my own fell short. The Pegan Shake includes the protein, fiber, and fat that provide the nutrition and energy I need. I'm so grateful for the Pegan Shake. This shake is designed to support your blood sugar and keep you feeling full and satisfied while giving your body the best information and nutrients to thrive. I know you're going to love it as much as I do. Check out the Pegan Shake at getpharmacy.com/pegan shake. That's getpharmacy with an F, F-A-R-M-A-C-Y, /pegan shake. Now let's get back to this week's episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy. Welcome to The Doctor's Pharmacy. I'm Dr. Mark Hyman. That's pharmacy with an F, F-A-R-M-A-C-Y, a place for conversation that matters. And if you have ADD or ADHD or know someone or have a kid who has it, this conversation is going to matter to you because it's a special episode of House Call with none other than Dr. George Papanicolaou, who's a colleague of mine here at the Ultra Wellness Center, an incredible physician, a rock star in his own right. And we're going to get right into it because he and I have been dealing with these problems for decades. And it's so prevalent. It's so common. I mean, 1 in 10 kids in America is on ADD medication. I mean, there was that one kid that I remember in my class, Patty. I remember his name. It was that troubled kid. But that was it. It wasn't like half the class on ADD medication. And then we have a whole slate of learning disabilities, and we have autism, and we have this, you know, 1 in 6 kids with a neurodevelopmental disorder. And it's not a Ritalin deficiency.
No.
So let's talk about ADHD. Yeah. Why do we see this problem. What is ADHD? And of course, it affects adults and kids, but kids, it really disturbs their lives and impacts us so badly in terms of our ability to learn and focus and succeed in life. I mean, some people with ADD do fine. I mean, I have a little bit of it, and I do okay.
But I have a lot of it personally.
But it's a spectrum of how bad it is. But
yeah,
Mark, I can read a whole book, and I can focus. I just get distracted. But I think we live in a very distracted world, and I think we have a nature deficit disorder, and I think we have a lot of reasons why we're seeing this. But you know, what is going on that we see so much of this problem in America today and around the world?
Mark, it's always a pleasure. And I love talking about these topics with you because you're so well versed. And I actually, in preparation for this, I went back and reviewed the Ultramind Solution.
And you read my book.
I did.
Prepare for the
Well, you know, it's important to know how you think. So yeah, I did, and it just reminded me of so many of the important things that we need to think about when it comes to the brain. And ADHD is one of the classic examples of how important it is to look at the whole picture. Now, you asked me earlier, and in your intro, you covered so many such important topics about ADHD that I'm sure we'll get to most of them as we talk today. The thing with ADHD, first off and foremost, is it's primarily been looked at as a medical model. In the psychiatric world, it's a medical model. It's sometimes it's seen more as a behavioral issue, and it's treated with medication.
It's a brain disease.
It's a brain disease, and as if you said before, the brain it's really a body disease that affects the brain.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've said that now in ADHD there are some issues around the brain itself that make adults and children more susceptible to this inattention or their ability to fail at executive functioning. And the other piece is the self-regulation piece. Mm-hmm. And so you have this combination ADHD where you have self-regulation mm-hmm. as an issue and you have the executive functions of an issue. And now it's been given this label, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And that's just a cluster of symptoms that everybody experiences to some degree in their lifetime. Now there's one kid in kindergarten that maybe he didn't pay attention once in his lifetime, right? You know, he's a spy. I don't know what he's doing, but he's doing something. He's doing something like where you have to pay attention all the time. And then there's, you know, the other person who they're so disabled by their ADHD, it's hard for them to work. It's hard for them to maintain relationship and even marriages. And then everybody else falls somewhere in between. That, and I think it's important to understand that piece, that it's a medical model, and that when we see kids and adults. The other piece is that more and more adults are being diagnosed, and at least 4% of adults are found to have ADHD, and maybe even more. You know, I think we'll find out there's more as we go on, that they carry on the traits of the ADHD, they go undiagnosed, and then as they're adults, it becomes more prevalent as life piles up and their compensatory mechanisms become overwhelmed. All of a sudden, they're getting older, and they're not eating right, and they're not exercising. Their ADHD becomes more prominent, and then they come seeking help.
And on top of that, we live in an ADHD culture where we're all driven to consume huge amounts of information by the addictive nature of social media and the internet. And it literally is taking people who are not even ADHD and making them like that, where they're hooked on their phones and they're constantly distracted and they're constantly getting the dopamine mm-hmm. hit. And it's magnifying it. And if you have ADHD, it's just even worse.
Yeah. And here's how they come to us. They come to us as families, as a mom or dad bringing a kid in, and they're discouraged. They're frustrated. The child is feeling left out. He's feeling alone because he's being labeled as a behavior disorder. He is unable to keep up in the regular curriculum in the school where you have to sit and get. And he can't sit and get. Right? He has to move around. He has to see pictures. He has to have creative illustrations or she, you know, and that's how they come to us. And they've heard, oh, Johnny's so smart if he'd only work harder. You know, mm-hmm. Susie, if she would just, you know, apply herself, you know, I sometimes think she's a little bit lazy, right? And they start to hear that language and then they start to inculcate that as their own identity, right? And that becomes a negative self-talk. That becomes discouragement. That becomes hopelessness for some people as time goes on.
I mean, it's seen as a psychiatric disorder, mm-hmm. treated by psychiatrists.
Yeah.
And maybe it isn't really a psychiatric disorder.
It's not.
Right? And
it's
in fact, most psychiatric disorders are not psychiatric disorders. Yeah. That's why I wrote the book, Ultra-Mind Solution.
You even you even said it in that book, right?
Right, because it's the body affects the brain, and the brain affects the body, the mind affects the body, but the body affects the mind.
Yeah.
And I think the cure for brain disorders is often outside the brain, and I think that's what we're talking about here. And now it's actually becoming part of conventional medicine. I recently interviewed for our podcast a expert in nutritional psychiatry and the microbiome and psychiatry from Harvard. And another one who was in Stanford studying metabolic psychiatry. So we now know that there are so many factors influencing our brain function that have been ignored by psychiatrists. And they're using psychiatric drugs like stimulants, like Ritalin, to help people focus. But it's just like pouring, you know, water on a fire with somebody else pouring gasoline on it at the same time. You have to get to the root causes.
Right. And so, and I know we're going to get to the root causes, but one of the things I just really wanted to mention is in that discouragement that parents come and they say, they're worried about their child's performance. And even adults who now have piled up failure after failure after failure because of their inability to really deal with their ADHD, and they didn't even know they had it. Right. I had a patient, she was 40 years old. She came to me because she saw one of my nurse practitioners. And my nurse practitioner said she wants a refill on her Ativan, but she, I'm uncomfortable giving it to her. And because she was a new nurse practitioner, I said, well, let me see the case. I saw the name of the patient. I saw that they were coming to get their Ativan again, and they had a gap of using it. So I said, you know what? Schedule her with me. And she said, I use it because I get overwhelmed. I said, what do you mean overwhelmed?
So it's an anxiety medication.
She takes it because she gets anxious and overwhelmed. I said, well, what do you mean? Well, I get anxious. Well, what do you mean by anxious? I get overwhelmed. What does overwhelmed mean? And she started to describe all the symptoms of ADHD, right? And she's a teacher. She was 40 years old. I took her through the DSM-4 classification, and then she went on to get a diagnosis.
That's a psychiatric manual for how we label people.
How we label
with different
people.
Mental illnesses symptoms.
I did use it. I'm sorry,
I
had to.
It's good to sort of get a label, but I always say just because you have a label doesn't mean you know what's wrong with you. You don't know the cause of your depression or ADD or whatever is going on.
So I told her, we did it. I said, you have ADHD. She was devastated. She was truly devastated. And, she came back in tears because one, all the regrets, like, why didn't I get diagnosed sooner? And then the denial, maybe I don't really have it. Maybe there's something else wrong that can be fixed easier. Anyhow, it's like now 8 years later, and I run into her because we're friends, and she got an ADHD coach. She did take Adderall for a short period of time. I got her to work on her nutrition, so forth. And so she's doing amazingly well.
Amazing.
Amazingly well. But the point I want to make is that ADHD can be a really devastating experience. And one of the things that I like to do when I'm working with my patients is the first thing we do, we've got to normalize it. We got to let you know everything's going to be okay.
Well, that's right. There's a stigma, George, around mental illness.
Yeah.
And that's really why I wrote the book, Ultra-Mind Solution, because it was very clear to me seeing patients who I would treat their biology and their psychology would get better. And I wasn't treating their brain.
Yeah.
I was treating their body. And I would notice the quote side effects of their ADD going away, their autism getting better, their depression going away, their panic attacks going away. I'm like, what is going on here? So that really, through the lens of functional medicine, what we do here at the Ultra Wellness Center in Lenox, Massachusetts, where we practice, is we go deep into these root causes.
Yeah.
So with ADHD, what are the things that are the most common drivers? Because it's not a Ritalin deficiency, as we said, right? It's something else.
Yeah.
What are we seeing in these patients that we find that then we can treat and help them get better?
I start with the understanding that there are some structural differences in the brains of a person with
there's
ADHD.
There's a predisposition.
Yeah, there's a predisposition. It's genetic. It's physiologic. And so you can't ignore that starting point. Now, that's not the first, that's my first line of thinking. And I know that I'm going to find out what that is.
But it's important to remember for people that Genes load the gun, but the environment pulls the trigger.
Exactly.
Right? So you might have a predisposition. It doesn't mean you're predestined
exactly.
to have the problem.
And that's exactly right, Mark. That's the point. And that's where I go next is, like, I know the predisposition is there, and I have tests that I can figure out what some of those predispositions are actually expressing themselves in that child or adult, and I will address them. But I also, as you just pointed out, is I go back to the environmental pieces first. And because those I can start working on at the very first visit.
You can modify.
Modify at the very first visit without having to do any tests. Mm. And that is to go through lifestyle. And where's the first lifestyle piece I go to? It's nutrition, right? Mm. And because the nutrition does a couple things. There's the nutrition, the actual macro and micronutrients and minerals and phytonutrients that the child needs that they might not be getting.
Yeah.
And then there's the impact that diet he's on is having on his body, and particularly on the gut microbiome.
Up on the bad diet.
Right.
That
bad diet, right? Which is filled with, all the things that you talk about all the time, the high fructose corn syrup, the GMOs, the hormones, the pesticides.
The additives and colors and dyes. Those chemicals have been linked in research to ADHD issues.
Absolutely.
Really clearly.
Yeah, and there's a diet, the Feingold diet is based on, removing those from the diet. So I can modify that right off the get-go, and I can get them to start to think about how to change that child's diet and simply remove some things, right? And add some things in their place to start moving them in the right direction.
And the diet you're talking about that they're getting usually is an inflammatory diet.
Yes.
And what's fascinating to me as we start to look at the research on all these brain issues, whether it's autism or ADHD or Alzheimer's or depression, their inflammation in the brain.
Yeah.
And we never knew that before.
Yeah.
So do you take an Advil if you have depression or if you have ADD? No, you have to figure out why there's inflammation in the brain. And that's what functional medicine does. It's a methodology to get to the root cause of whatever it is. And in this case, it's inflammation in the brain. And all these kids often have other inflammatory issues too. And you have a case, and I want to share a case where we talk about this. Yeah. But how do we sort of begin to tease apart what aspects of the diet are the most important in these kids?
First, I interview. Like I ask. To tease it apart, you have to ask, like, okay,
what
mom,
are you eating?
Mom, what are you feeding? Eating. And I'll ask them, right? And as soon as I ask the child what they eat, here's what happens. I'm going to just pick this up. Mom's holding a folder or a newspaper or something. And as I ask the child what they're going to eat, I see this. Okay. I usually see she's going to hide because she knows what's going to come out. All right. We're going to hear about Lucky Charms, and we're going to hear about Hot Pockets, and we're going to hear about, the Gatorade and
Flaming Hot Chips.
And she feeds the child that because that's what the child wants to eat.
Mm.
And because they can't self-regulate, she knows that there's going to be, there's hell to pay when you're not giving them what they want. So yeah. So first off, you tease it out by doing a 3-day diet history, talking to the mom, talking to the child. And once you begin to tease that out, then you can get an understanding of what you need to add back in. And most of the time, it's like everything.
Yeah.
And
we also do food sensitivity testing and checking for gluten and dairy, which often causes inflammation in the brain for these kids, right?
Yeah. I don't know when you want me to talk about the testing piece, but the thing I want to say about the gut microbiome and your diet is that inflammatory diet. Remember, you don't have to remember, but for our listeners, that the gut microbiome does things for us. It's like another organ. And so 70% of our serotonin resides in the gastrointestinal tract.
Like a second brain.
Right, second brain. 30% of our dopamine resides in the intestinal tract. When you're eating a bad diet and you're shifting the microbiome, you're shifting the balance of good bacteria and bad bacteria, you're now going to create an environment where a child cannot produce some of those neurotransmitters. You're going to create an environment where they're not breaking down their food completely. Because of the inflammation, you could be getting something called leaky gut. And that dysbiosis, that leaky gut, that leads to a lack of absorption of some really important nutrients. And that begins to have a big effect. So now they're not absorbing their magnesium. Now they're letting too much copper in and not enough zinc. Now your not getting enough iron. And we know that if you're anemic and you don't have enough iron, you're going to not be able to concentrate well. That's the real important impact of your diet. It's not just, oh, sugar's bad for them. Well, what's it doing to, you know, you may notice that after the microbiome,
yeah.
We got to fix that. And that's why I said, I know what the predisposition is, but the first place we're going to go is to the lifestyle. And why? Because that lifestyle is affecting the most important thing, and that's the gut.
Yeah, nutrition is so huge. And we see this with these kids. They have poor quality nutrition. They're eating a lot of processed food. They're not getting the good nutrients they need. They're eating foods that are inflammatory. They're having gluten and dairy often, which can be very neurotoxic for some kids. They're eating additives and chemicals in their food that can trigger hyperactivity. And so there's this whole range of food interventions that have been shown to be very effective for these kids, even removing food sensitivities.
Yeah.
That's one study published in the UK. So there's a lot of literature on this.
Absolutely.
But again, it's not something that you get when you go to the psychiatrist.
It's not mainstream.
They don't talk about this. So we're looking at the role of nutrition.
Yeah.
Nutritional deficiencies, food sensitivities, and lack of the right nutrients.
Yes.
What are the other things we should think about? The gut, you said. The gut plays a huge role, right?
Yeah.
So you have leaky gut.
Yeah, everything I just mentioned, you know, with the leaky gut, the alterations in the microbiome, you're going to have less serotonin made, less dopamine made. You're not going to get the nutrients that we just talked about. And so that we look there and we can do tests to determine. We have, you know, very sensitive tests that can look at, do organic acid tests that can look at amino acid levels, which are the precursors for making your neurotransmitters. Mm-hmm. So that if you're not, you know, eating enough protein, which kids don't eat enough protein, you're not eating enough protein, and then you have already disordered your microbiome, which includes your gastric acids, which includes your pancreatic acids. Those are very important for breaking down your proteins, your carbohydrates, and your fats. You get all the nutrients you need. So we need to make sure that they're, you know, if that's not happening, they're not getting their amino acids, then they're not going to be able to make these neurotransmitters. We can measure that using organic acids.
Yeah.
We can look at carbohydrate metabolism that's important in energy production, energy that's needed for the body to work, particularly the brain, since it has the most mitochondria in the entire body because it needs the most energy. And if that brain's not making energy because you're not getting the appropriate amounts and the types of carbohydrates, that child's not going to do well.
Yeah.
And we can determine that on the organic acids or an ion profile. Yeah. So
these are kind of tests you don't normally get at a regular doctor.
No.
And these tests tell us about things like mitochondria. You mentioned mitochondria. I just want to sort of loop back on this because there's a woman named Suzanne Goes, a pediatric neurologist, went to Harvard, Oxford, and studies autism. And she's found in these autistic kids, there's a subset of these kids that have impaired mitochondrial function in their brain. And it's an energy deficit, which can cause these neurologic symptoms. And so she provides the substrates or the basic building blocks for making energy in these kids that are supplements like CoQ10 and carnitine and other nutrients that are so important for building energy in the system. So we sometimes find this in these kids.
Absolutely.
They have energy issues.
You know, we've seen that with our autistic kids that when we give them amino acids, when we give them methylcobalamin, which is a basic nutrient, you see changes
dramatic.
When you address the mitochondria, you're going to see those dramatic changes.
And they also have issues around toxins, these kids sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So talk about toxins and mental health and particularly ADHD.
Right. So the toxins that we look for the most, and they're tested for, you know, in schools as part of your
lead.
There you go. Got lead. So we have lead. We also have mercury and we have arsenic.
Yeah.
Those are three very common heavy metals that you're going to find in your environment.
Mm-hmm.
So those, each one of them are going to be able to block the energy producing pathways in cells. They're also going to limit the neurotransmitter metabolism in the brain directly. They're directly neurotoxic, and they also have effects on the body's ability to make energy in their mitochondria.
Yeah.
So we test for heavy metals in kids all the time.
Yeah.
And why do kids have
that?
And why do we find that? Because I tell people, it's not a matter of whether you're toxic. You know, it's not a matter of whether you have heavy metals. It's how many do you have,
yeah, yeah.
Right? And how much. And And that's going to be a product of several things. One, we go back to genetics. You just may not be a good detoxer, mm-hmm. right? You may have, you know, SNPs, which are single nucleotide polymorphisms. Mm-hmm. Those are like one single yeah. nucleotide change in the blueprint that makes the protein. And if that is off, then that protein's not going to work correctly. Well, if your detox proteins and enzymes are not working, you just don't detox that yeah. well. And we can determine that. And then we can determine what your lead levels are. And then we have ways that we can bring those down.
And it's so common. You know, I remember this kid I had who was like 10, 11 years old, just a terror, ADD, getting kicked out of class, disruptive, behavior issues. And the mother was just desperate.
I wasn't in your class.
she was a young mother, but she was very smart. And she kind of came to us. And it turned out his school was across the street from a cement plant. And the cement plant yeah. burns coal, and coal releases mercury and lead. And every day they go in the parking lot, at the end of the day, the cars were just dusted with this ash from the cement plant. And the kids were playing in the playground with the cement plant. And I tested him, and he had very high levels of heavy metals. Yeah. And we detoxified him. We fixed his metabolic pathways. And this kid got better.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not that every kid with ADD has lead or mercury. It's just one of the things to think about. And just that, like I always say yeah. with functional medicine, just because you know the name of the disease doesn't mean you know what's wrong with you, right? ADD can be many, many things and many, many factors. It can be gluten, it can be metals, it can be nutritional deficiency, it can be magnesium issues, can be, you know, your gut microbiome, can be gluten. So you have to think about all the factors.
Absolutely.
And that's really what we do. And we have very specific tests, which we can do to identify this in functional medicine.
And you can bring 10 kids in here with ADHD, right, or the label of ADHD, and each one of them is going to be treated differently because they're all going to be different. Their genetics are going to be different. Their environments are going to be different. Their supports are going to be different. And that's what we do in functional medicine. When a child or an adult comes to me, I spend up to 90 minutes just teasing out every piece of the puzzle I just talked about.
So tell us about Joey, because he's one of your patients.
Joey. Yeah. So Joey came to see me, and there's a multitude of issues. The one that was the main presenting issue was the fact that he wasn't doing good in school. He was told he had ADHD, and the mom and the dad had taken him to the primary care, and the immediate desire of the primary care physician was to start him on a stimulant. And the parents weren't
like Ritalin.
Like Ritalin, Adderall, and such. And they just didn't want to go down that road. They had heard a podcast. They had read one of my blogs, and they decided to come to the Ultra Wellness Center. Mm. Here he comes. So, you know, going through the entire history with Joey, we found out that Joey had from a very early time in his childhood, he had gut issues, and he had eczema early on in his life. So what were those gut issues? Lots of colic, dairy sensitivity, and eczema. They sort of resolved a little bit as time went on. Then he developed some seasonal allergies, and then he developed the ADHD. So he was being treated with antihistamines during, you know, springtime. They cut back dairy, and that was it. So Joey comes, lovely, lovely kid, very, very bright. And quite honestly, he wasn't as his behavior in the room wasn't as off the wall as some of the kids can be. And yeah. when I did ask him questions, he could articulate pretty clearly. Well, I could see him starting, you know, start to
fidgeting.
Yeah, he was starting to fidget as time was going on. But I think his dad was fidgeting more than him. This is very inheritable. So what did I do? So the same things that we always do. I did his genetic testing. So we do a test called DNA Health. And that lets us know about several important genes. I can learn about those detox genes I talked about. Hmm. But then I also can look at some of the methylation genes. And again, in your Ultra Mind solution, you do a great job in explaining methylation. Methylation is a process that the body uses in thousands of reactions to activate molecules to do their job. I'll just say
it's like one of the most important yeah. chemical reactions that happens literally millions of times a second.
Yeah, many times a second. It's protecting and repairing your DNA. It's part of the detox pathways, and it's really important in neurotransmitter metabolism. And so two of them, one called the MTHFR gene and one called the COMT gene, really control methylation. And the COMT gene in particular is responsible for metabolizing the catechol neurotransmitters, dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine. Those are the three neurotransmitters in the prefrontal lobe, prefrontal cortex of the frontal lobe, that are responsible for behavior, executive function, self-regulation, concentration, and learning in the prefrontal cortex. So,
and these are just variations in our genes that aren't like a mutation per se. They're just differences among individuals that make you more or less likely to have a different issue.
Yeah, they're the genes that make us, you know, give you blue eyes, give me brown eyes, right? But they also are responsible for some really critical life-altering reactions in our body.
And in fact, 1/3 of our entire DNA codes for enzymes, which regulate most of our body functions. And those enzymes are all controlled by nutrients. And when you have variations in those enzymes, you may need higher amounts of certain nutrients. So while 400 micrograms of folate might be good for one person, another person might need 4,000.
Absolutely. So I checked the genetics and I found that he had a variation in his CMT gene that actually left him with really low levels of dopamine. So at baseline, he had low levels of dopamine.
Which is what makes you focus and pay attention and be alert, right?
Yep. And so interestingly enough, when you take that child and you put them under pressure, they actually function better because now their dopamine levels start to come up under pressure.
Oh, is that why I always do better writing my books under deadline?
Yep. So there's this thought that I've had that, you know, kids procrastinate, adults procrastinate so that they find themselves under pressure because now their dopamine levels go up and now they're in the sweet spot and they can get their work done. So I found that he had that particular gene. And of course, you know, I've already talked about what the worst diet could look like. Well, he had the worst diet. And so he had, you know, we did an ion profile and we found that he was missing important nutrients. He was low in his B12. He was, his B2, riboflavin was low. And
it's important for energy production.
Right, energy production. That's the mitochondrial cellular activity that provides the energy for your neurons to work. And he was low in his B vitamins. And that's really critical because, you know, particularly, and then folate was normal, but his MTHFR gene had a variant that made it less active. Why is that important? Because the MTHFR gene is responsible for methylating folate. And that's part of the-
That makes it active.
That so makes the body it can active. Use it. If you don't have active folate, you can't use it. And folate's a very big, important part of how your neurotransmitters in your brain's going to work. So he had two genetic issues, a poor diet, and he had an imbalance in his gut. He had just general dysbiosis and overgrowth of a lot of bad bacteria. And so I treated those things. And how do I treat that? They meet with our nutritionist, and the first thing we do is we put them on an elimination diet. We take out all the bad things. So we're taking out sugar, we're taking out processed carbohydrates, we're taking out foods with coloring, we're taking out dairy, gluten, soy. And I can just tell you, when I met with Joey 6 weeks later, just based on the nutritional changes that I made, before I had my lab results, we started him on that diet before the lab results came in. Mom was already talking about how his attention had improved. Now, I had added some magnesium in on the first visit. I added some fish oil. There are studies that show that children with ADHD, when they get at least 4 grams of omega-3s daily, you see an improvement in their executive function. You see an improvement in their behavior. So I put them on fish oil, magnesium, vitamin D. That diet, by the first visit back, mom was already saying teachers are seeing a difference and that she was noticing a difference too. And he was sleeping better.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's so great. And you see these changes in these kids where they've been struggling for so long. And it's just heartbreaking to see what it does to the families, the kid's self-esteem, the kid gets picked on or doesn't do well in school. I mean, it's just these consequences of these problems are enormous for people. And they're not that hard to fix often. And it just reminded me of a case I just want to share.
briefly of Clayton, who came to me at 12 years old, but his mom was really struggling with him. He's very disruptive behavior. He had ADD since he was in kindergarten. He was kicked out of kindergarten, on and off Ritalin, and struggled, not doing well in school. And he also had all these other issues. Mm-hmm. And what happens is this silo effect in medicine where the psychiatrist treats the ADD, and then there's all these other problems a kid has. Mm-hmm. Kid had asthma. He had eczema. He had irritable bowel. He had headaches. He had anxiety. He had anal itching. He had, allergies. He had trouble sleeping. He had all these issues. He had muscle cramps and twitching. And when I looked at his full history, I'm like, he's got an overwhelming amount of inflammation. All these problems are inflammatory issues. Yeah. And it was so related to the inflammation in his brain. And so what I did was I sort of did a workup on him, and I found, his diet was terrible. He only ate junk food, never ate a vegetable in his life, processed food all the time. He, was treated by 7 different doctors on 7 different medications. No one said, how is this all connected? They're all siloed, right?
Yeah.
And I started to sort of dig deep, and I did the tests we do here in functional medicine. I did nutritional profiles. So we looked at all the things you mentioned, amino acids, organic acids, minerals, vitamins, antioxidants. And I looked at his stool test, and I looked at heavy metals, and I looked at food sensitivities, and I looked at all these factors. And it was just fascinating because even by his history, I could predict what he had on his test because he didn't eat any real food. So he had no omega-3 fats. He had extremely low levels of magnesium, which comes from whole foods and grains and beans. He had extremely low levels of zinc, which again comes from good food. He had low levels of B6, which is important also for neurotransmitters, and folate. And he had all these other issues that were also going on. He had a little bit of lead in his system, which can cause behavior issues. He had a leaky gut, and he had overgrowth of yeast from lots of antibiotics. And so I basically cleaned up his gut. I got rid of the bad stuff, put in the good stuff, did an elimination diet, added in all the nutrients that he was missing, supplements. Yep. And I got rid of the heavy metals, and we did a gut healing program on him, but just very simple stuff.
Yeah.
And his mother brought him back 2 months later. Not only was his ADD completely gone, all those other problems were gone. And what was really striking to me, hopefully we can put it in the show notes here for the podcast, his handwriting sample when he came in was illegible. And yeah, a lot of these kids have ADD or autism, they have what we call dysgraphia, which means their penmanship sucks and you can't read their handwriting. 12 years old, he couldn't write within the lines. It was all over the place. It was illegible. 2 months later, mom brings his homework back, perfect penmanship. Mm-hmm. I'm like, holy crap, what happened here? Yeah. And I went, how did his brain go from incoherent and dyssynchronous and chaotic to coherent and synchronous and functional?
It wasn't because you gave him Adderall.
I didn't give him Adderall. I fixed the inflammation. I fixed his gut. Right. I got his diet cleaned up. I gave him the nutrients his brain was missing. I changed his brain function in a way that was just so dramatic. And this kid then went on to become a astrophysicist.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I was like, whoa, this is amazing. And I just one of those things, I wrote about it in the Ultramind Solution, because one of those stories that just sticks in your brain.
Absolutely.
Because when you see it, people get better and they go, oh, I feel better. I'm focusing better. Okay, I feel better. One thing. But when you see the handwriting sample, you go, wait a minute, what happened here?
Yeah.
And I think this is what we see in these kids. And we see the same case along the whole spectrum of, autism, ADD, I think it's just a spectrum of dysfunction in the brain, of inflammation.
It is. And it's getting down to getting granular and really getting into the don't guess, test and test, until you get to the most granular level where you get to the root cause. I added to Joey, I added tyrosine because his CMT left him unable to have enough dopamine in his brain.
So tyrosine is the amino acid that you make dopamine from.
Exactly. I gave him tyrosine at the second visit, and that changed everything. That was like his brain started functioning at a really high level. Now, he came back third visit. This is like a year later, and still struggling though with, anxiety and still some, sleep issues and, that's still having a hard time with organizing himself.
Yeah.
And that's the other piece I tell people. There are just some habits, some skills that still may be hard, even though we get the brain functioning. Now we have the brain functioning at a high level, and it's able to start to take in, rewire, it's plastic. And so now, after years of being totally disorganized and chaotic, you know, he's 13 years old. I mean, he hadn't been
we
able
have to learn those things.
He has
right?
to learn it all over. So I had it, you know, there are some things that you can do. So I had him start working with an ADHD coach that would teach him how to use a task list, how to use a calendar, you know, set up cues so that he can figure out when he's procrastinating. And so that began to make a big difference. Mm. And so, you know, mom then sent me a picture, texted me actually, a picture of Joey at his desk. Well, he wasn't at his desk, but on his desk was a task list and a calendar with boxes checked off. And then she said, I would never have imagined that 2 years ago, Joey would ever been able to do this. And he was doing great in school. So it's not just...
A lot of these kids are like Rip Van Winkle. They've been in the ADHD zone so long, they're kind of not functional, and they don't learn the basic skills or the emotional or intellectual development that allows them to function at a higher level. So they have to literally learn that once their brain comes back online.
You know, I didn't do this with Joey, but I've been doing this a lot with my patients recently, probably, you know, and that is getting them to meditate. Meditating, as you know, calms the brain. And it changes the neurologic functioning of the brain. It's going to increase the size of your hippocampus, which is your memory center. Mm-hmm. It's going to increase the size of the corpus callosum, which attaches right brain to left brain, so that you can have your calculations and your creativity feeding each other back and forth, so you become even more creative. Mm. It's going to, it's actually going to shrink down the amygdala. So, and that's the area of agitation and irritation and anger. That shrinks down. You get more self-control. So meditation is something I really recommend for adults and kids with ADHD.
So powerful.
Yeah, it's really powerful.
So George, this has been an incredible discussion. Yeah. I mean, we really have it all wrong when it comes to ADHD in this country. We're focusing on it as a brain issue instead of a body issue. And we're missing all the real causes, which is our diet. Not only the chemicals, but the gluten and dairy, the processed food, the lack of good foods and nutrition, the damage of our microbiome, the toxins that can be there, and the other factors, which we look at the Ultra Wellness Center, which is very different than most people do. And we see incredible results. I mean, sometimes it's a little harder, challenging cases, but we really see people get better. And for people listening out there, I mean, if you have somebody with ADHD in your family or you have it, you know, try an elimination diet. Try to take a basic multi-fish oil, magnesium and vitamin D, and see how that goes, because that alone can help a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And if you get stuck, you can come see us here. We're here, and we have an incredible group of physicians who probably have over 70 years of functional medicine experience, more than any in the country, I think. And we take care of people from all over the world. And now we have remote virtual visits and consults.
Which has been great.
Great. They're fun, and you get to connect with us. And you can find us on the web at ultrawellnesscenter.com. I encourage you to check us out. And don't despair, because there is hope. And we need to sometimes do other things besides what we talked about, like limit devices and get out in nature and play.
Those are
also important aspects.
Absolutely.
I don't want to underemphasize, but that's another podcast.
Yeah, another podcast.
So, George, thank you so much for being on the Doctor's Pharmacy.
Always a great pleasure.
And if you love this podcast, please share with your friends and family on social media. If you've suffered from ADD or know anybody who has, and you've learned some things about how to help yourself, please share it on comments. We'd love to hear from you. And subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we'd love to see you next time on The Doctor's Pharmacy next week. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Hyman. Thanks for tuning into The Doctor's Pharmacy. I hope you're loving this podcast. It's one of my favorite things to do, and introducing you all the experts that I know and I love and that I've learned so much from. And I want to tell you about something else I'm doing, which is called Mark's Picks. It's my weekly newsletter. And in it, I share my favorite stuff, from foods to supplements to gadgets to tools to enhance your health. It's all the cool stuff that I use and that my team uses to optimize and enhance our health. And I'd love you to sign up for the weekly newsletter. I'll only send it to you once a week on Fridays. Nothing else, I promise. And all you have to do is go to drhyman.com/picks to sign up. That's drhyman.com/picks, P-I-C-K-S, and sign up for the newsletter, and I'll share with you my favorite stuff that I use to enhance my health and get healthier and better and live younger longer.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode.
Just a reminder that this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Practitioner database. It's important that you have someone in your corner who's trained, who's a licensed healthcare practitioner, and can help you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.